I think we're going to now have a question and answer time. But we wanted to offer to anyone who would like to pray to meet with Bob in his office here to the right, if you would like to pray at this time, and anyone who would love a copy of a New Testament, we've got copies here, and would love to give you one of those as well.
I was thinking too, Leo. We thought if anybody prayed and said, "I need Christ for the first time," you know, Leo mentioned he started off with John's Gospel, reading that. And that's what that's in here. You can. I'd want you to raise your hand so that he could come and give that to you right now. Could you take a minute or two to do that, and then
I'd love to.
You know, get that in your hand before the rest of the evening proceeds. So, if you prayed to receive Christ for the first time, you want that transformation, that change, and you know, the same thing with Leo. We don't care how many times you went to church. That's not the issue. The issue is Christ in your life, yes or no? Would you like Him to be there? If you need some help with that, say, "I need some help with that." And Leo will get you he'll just pass that on to you. But let's just take a minute or two of quietness. If anybody would, you know, sense that change for the first time, just put your hand up so he can pass something good on to you there.
Yeah, don't be ashamed, man. I tell you, one of the things that was the most powerful witness to me was when men had an unashamed identification with Jesus Christ. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." And when men get unashamed about that identification with Christ, powerful things start to happen. Marriages are healed. Families are brought together. And lives are changed. And in our brokenness, together, we begin to experience God's wholeness and healing. And that's God's desire for all of you. There may be some good Christian men here who haven't taken that step to get involved in a huddle, to really lock arms with other men. You know, to pray, to study God's Word, to be vulnerable, to build your life together. And if you haven't done that, you're never too old to do that either. My father came to Christ when he was about 64 years old. We were praying for my father for 25 years. I took him to Chuck Colson preaching and all kinds of things. And my dad never stepped out in faith till he was about 64 years old, you know. And all he tells me now is, "Leo, you know, why did I wait that long? Why was it so long?" And he has a brokenness over, you know, leaving my mother and what he did. And I say, "Dad, that's all covered by the cross. It's all covered by the blood, you know. But he's got a pain. He's got such a pain there, you know." Say yes to Christ.
And just as Leo shares, the guy next to you, they would want you to do that if you want to do that. Don't worry about what the other guy thinks. Hey, they're there to help cheer you on. I'm going to go and just be in my office if anybody wants to pray. But after you sense the time's over, you are going to lead that question and answer. And
yeah,
that'd be great. Just anything about life with God, life with the old Penn State team, or in the pros, or at Geneva, something that would be a blessing.
Question. How is he to work with? He's good. I mean, he's tough. You know, he's tough and demanding, you know, but he has the players' respect. When he has said over and over that he can't imagine himself doing anything else. He loves to coach. He sees himself as a teacher and a coach, and that's all he's ever wanted to do. He's never cared how much money that they've paid him. He lives in the same house that he and Sue did, you know, for the last 40-some years. He brought me to that home with my parents when he recruited me. And then 25 years later, after my graduation, he recruited my son. And my wife and I went with my son and my daughter to his home there. And he was saying the same things to my son that he said to me 25 years earlier. And I went there mostly because he was a charming little Italian fella. And my mom trusted him. My mom's all Italian. And she thought, well, if you're not going to go to Notre Dame, then I'm gonna trust that little Italian guy, Paterno, at Penn State. And so, yeah, he's...
I met him one time. I was up there going to work on a new island. Which Nesky is up there now? Is that your brother's son?
No, that's my son. Yeah, that's my son. Yeah, my wife and I, our son, Stefan. My brother is Steve, yes, and he... he's 7 years younger than me, my brother Steve. Yep. He was the one who played 13 years for the Raiders. Yep. Yep. And, yes. I'm sorry. What makes a man tough? Wow, that's a great question. This guy's going to be a preacher someday, Bob. Question like that. What makes a man tough? You know, I think what makes a man tough is the way he carries responsibility. I think the way he carries responsibility makes him tough. And, you know, when I was younger, I had it all wrong. I thought the athletes were the tough guys. And I shared that story with you about Mike Humiston because to me he's a real tough guy. He's carried a tremendous weight and responsibility with his son to watch him dying, and he will die very soon. And all the longing that he had for his son, he never danced with a girl at school, he never caught a pass, he never bounced a ball. But in faith, when Ben passes from this life, they know he's going to go home to be with the Lord. And they've carried that lovingly and graciously. So I think that's what makes a man tough. How did I intern? Yeah, I sure did. Yeah, I sure did. I still joke with him to this day that he had tremendous patience with me over the knucklehead that I was. And, you know, I think Coach Paterno really recognized that committed Christians on his teams have really made a big difference. You know, if I know we got some hardcore Penn State fans, some great guys right up here. So at this point, I do have to say, we are
Penn State.
There we go. But, you know, a lot of Joe's great teams really had a committed core of Christians that really made a big difference. You know, not that everybody on the team was Christian. I'm not suggesting that. But, you know, a core group of a dozen or more guys who really loved the Lord and really prayed for the spiritual outreach to the team. The 82 team had those guys, Blackledge, Kurt Warner. The 86 team, DJ Dozier, Tim Johnson, my brother Steve. There was, so, you know, and I was sharing this earlier. It's kind of neat. Charlie Getty and a group of guys going back in the 60s, some committed Christians, really prayed for revival there on the football team at Penn State, and God really blessed that. And he started God started a real revival on the team and has really kept that going through the years. This is 40 years after Charlie and those guys had that great initial impact. And there are men every year coming to Christ and being discipled in their faith. And I'm just thrilled that my son is a part of that right now. I'm thrilled. Thrilled to see what God's doing up there right now. He's 19. He's a sophomore. He'll be 20 coming up here in another month. Well, you know what? I don't want to talk about my specific tradition, because I don't like to put down, you know, any tradition. But I believe my mother, was a Christian, that she had a saving faith in Christ. I don't think my father did, you know, and he has expressed that. But I really believe my mother did, you know. Well, if we're saved, we're saved to the bone. If that's for all of us, yeah, we're not just dipped in the blood. We're drenched in the blood of Christ. Yeah, but I was saved. I am being saved, and when He calls me home, you know, that saving work will be done, right, for all of us. Oh, yeah, man. That's a great question. You know, I met those guys back in 1981 at Geneva College, the Christian football camp. The Pittsburgh Steelers at that time for a number of years did a Christian football camp as an outreach to primarily high school age young men. And Tunch and Wolf were a part of that. And I was at Penn State, and those guys are a few years older than me. And Mike Webster and John Kolb and Ted Peterson, Wolf and Tunch, Donnie Schell. I mean, a lot of those great Steelers were believers, solid believers. And I was like a kid in a candy store, you know, being a college football player and getting to spend a week with all those great players. And to see their faith, and Tunch in particular, and I really hit it off, and we began a friendship, and then later Wolf as well. But in fact, one of the things that sealed our friendship was at about 2 a.m. on a really hot July night, everybody had their doors in the dorm open, you know, to try and get a little air. And I was running around with my younger brother, and we had giant buckets of water, and Tunch and Wolf, I got them both, and they were in their bed snoring, just, and I poured that giant bucket right on top of them, you know, each a different, you know, different rooms, different times, but we had a ball. They chased me all over that dormitory, and yeah. So that was the beginning of our friendship. Bob?
What would you tell the average guy, you know, thinking, well, should I make a turn to be closer to Christ? What advice would you give them?
Well, I would say, you know, explore that in the context of you know, a group of men, you know, and I think one of the great things we have a men's ministry in Pittsburgh. We do monthly dinners and breakfasts where we ask men to come in. Often, you know, we get 20 to 30 or so men, and though they're outreach breakfasts and outreach dinners, but we have different guys kind of share their story, and the whole context of the evening is, you know, we're with you, you know, And yes, we'd love to see you come to Christ, but we're just happy you're here with us, sharing a meal and sharing friendship. And so we like to create a positive atmosphere where men are just accepted and where, men celebrate who you are. And in that safe environment to explore, those questions, Bob. And, how can I take next steps with Christ? And can you pray with me about my marriage? And can you help me, with my son, who's got an alcohol problem or a drug problem? And pretty soon, because of our honesty in our groups, we talk about those failures and our brokenness. And, we had a guy in our last meeting, he's been sharing about his wife, and she's in drug and alcohol rehab right now. And, we've been standing with him in that, praying for him, praying for his wife. And boy, I tell you, when he opens up to share that, men are touched and men open up, as a result of his willingness to share that and to get support from one another. Well, I think the greatest wonder and sign is conversion. The going from death to life in Christ. I really do. Now, I believe in the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I have prayed with Christians for physical healing. I believe my father was physically healed. We were in his hospital room for 3 days, and my brother and I were laying hands on him and praying for his physical healing. He had a bad brain bleed, and they said that if he lived, that he wasn't going to have his mental faculties at all. They were going to be severely, there were going to be severe setbacks. And my dad came out of that, and he was sharp as ever, and the doctors couldn't believe it. And so I believe that God can grant physical healing. But he doesn't always. And we can pray for healing in this life, and we don't know why. Brandon Lewis. Many of you know Brandon Lewis from this community. Brandon was one of our Geneva guys. And we prayed for Brandon often and prayed for his physical healing, but the Lord chose to took him home. So I believe the greatest signs and wonders are seen in that transformation, when in our spiritual death and separation from God, we're brought and made new, through life in Christ. And I have seen I've been privileged to be a part of a lot of those conversions. And one time it happened, we were sharing Christ at a breakfast place in Phoenix, Arizona. And there was five Christian men, and we were telling our stories and how we came to Christ. And there was a man who was sitting about 15 feet away, and he came over in tears, and he said that he wanted to give his life to Christ, that he heard what we were talking about, and he needed the hope and the promise of Christ and the gospel, and he gave his life to the Lord right there. We weren't even talking with him. I mean, to me, that was a sign, that was a sign. Yeah. Oh, okay. Bill and I were talking beforehand about Tommy Bradley. Bill's good friends with Tommy Bradley up at Penn State. And of course, Joe's always getting harassed about being old and when you're going to retire. And Tommy told me that, I guess it would be 2 years ago now when Joe was 80. He was only 80 then. And Barry Alvarez announced that he was going to retire, and Tommy heard it on late ESPN, and it was 6 a.m. in the morning. He walked into Joe's office, and he said, "Joe, did you hear about Barry Alvarez?" Joe said, "No," and Tommy said, "Well, he announced that he's going to retire, and Belima is going to be his successor, the the defensive coordinator. And Joe kind of looked at him and pondered a minute, and he said, you know, he said, he should retire. He's old. So being old is your vantage point. It's all your vantage point. Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for that invitation. Very good.
Anybody else? Hang around for 10 minutes. People can greet you informally, Leo. And can we thank Leo? And then you close in prayer, if you would. Okay.
Okay.
Can we thank
good.
Leo for sharing tonight?
Thank you. Let's close in prayer, man. Heavenly Father, we do celebrate your life in our midst. And Father, we're just overwhelmed that you would choose us, Lord, sinners, that you would call to yourself, and in faith you would call us sons of God. John would write in his letter, "Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God." And that is what we are. That is your awesome promise to us, that through faith in Christ, that we might become the sons of God. So, Lord, help us to go forth from this place, celebrating that you are our Heavenly Father, and that you've empowered us by your Holy Spirit to love other men, to reach out, to love our wives, to love our children, to make a difference in the world. In Christ's powerful name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. We give Leo a gift and a plaque by Genesis Engraving with his, the men's wild game dinner and the date. So God bless. Thanks for coming, Leo.
Thanks, God.
Come back some year. There you go, buddy.
Thank you, man.
As you go, there are cartons of food that need to be taken home to your house. So get some in the fellowship hall on the way out.
Just don't give that kangaroo to your wife.
Right. And come and shake hands if you'd like. God bless. Have a good night.